And over 40 years, that's £200,000 directly paid in by that teacher. No interest, because the government uses that money. It's an interest-free loan to them. And so we are pretty sore about the notion that taxpayers are paying our pensions. Our pensions are contributory, and they cover the costs within a very small amount. I'm quite certain of that.
Thank you so much for that. A rather different view here from Peter Anderson. A private sector employee will, at today's rates, receive an annuity at age 65 of about £5,500 a year for each £100,000 in his or her pension pot. Using the government's example, a teacher earning £38,000 at retirement will receive a pension of £25,000. To match this, the private sector pension pot needs to be around £500,000. Or the equivalent of saving at least £12,000 a year over 40 years. Public sector pensions are so generous because they're heavily subsidised by the general taxpayer. So we have a situation in which the pension rich are being subsidised by the pension poor. In effect, a form of inverted Robin Hood tax. Peter Nadin from Macclesfield in Cheshire.
While they have a right to strike, they have an obligation to educate our children. And bear in mind, as one of your correspondents just said there, that they are comparatively reasonable pensions that they get. Spare a thought for the private sector as well, because my company removed my ability to contribute into my final salary scheme 10 or 11 years ago, and just this last few months they've decided to remove the link between my final salary and my pension pot. That link is now gone, so I don't know where I stand there. And of course we've got the government state pension going to 67. So, you know, is that fair? Was it fair for both Labour and consecutive Conservative governments to raid the pension pot when they did, to remove the ability to pay a decent pension for the private sector?
In a word, do you believe that the teachers should go on strike, the head teachers, yes or no?
I don't believe they should strike, no.
Okay. Thank you. This email comes from Bill Walton. It takes a lot to bring teachers out on strike. Rather than negotiate, the coalition government is trying to impose terms that will badly affect the finances of all teachers through big increases in contributions. The pensions are already funded, and teachers are being told to pay for the greed of bankers and other financial services and other privileged industries. Teachers are taxpayers too, and deserve free treatment. That's all we have time for this afternoon. We spent quite a bit of time on the NHS for obvious reasons. We will be back next week with any questions on the 18th, where we're going to be in the Royal Grammar School in Worcester. On our panel, it's always subject to change with a changing world. On our panel at the moment, the Northern Ireland Secretary, Owen Paterson, Diane Abbott, the Shadow Minister for Public Health, and the journalist, John Harris. I hope you'll be able to join us for that, for your calls, your emails, and your tweets from any answers. Have a very good afternoon.
That was Jonathan Dimbleby, and Any Answers was produced by Lisa Jenkinson. The Saturday Play is a radio version of Jack Rosenthal's award-winning television play about a boy having his bar mitzvah, the ceremony in which a 13-year-old becomes a man in the Jewish faith. Bar Mitzvah Boy is in a minute or so.
This week's Crossing Continents looks at the unfolding Egyptian revolution through the eyes of five extraordinary women.
On the ground reporting from around the world.
Continents this week, the strange story of Dirar Abu Sisi, the Palestinian who disappeared from a Ukrainian train.
Exploring the human dimension of the major international stories.
Crossing Continents investigates alleged shortcomings at gold mines in South Africa.
This is the extraordinary tales of the people travelling through Baghdad Airport.
Health impact on New York from the collapse of the World Trade Center. Crossing Continents reports.
Crossing Continents on BBC Radio 4, Thursday mornings at 11.
There are now no living survivors of the First World War, yet Remembrance Day has gained a new and powerful significance in the nation's life. This evening on Radio 4, we explore the act of remembrance through recordings of the ceremony, and we hear the debates surrounding it. Archive on 4, tonight at 8 o'clock. Then tomorrow morning, we're live at the Cenotaph in London for this year's Ceremony of Remembrance. Nicholas Witchell will set the scene in Whitehall for the solemn ceremony when the nation remembers the sacrifice made by so many in the two world wars and in other more recent conflicts. The traditional music of remembrance is played by the massed bands, and after the last post and 2 minute silence, Her Majesty the Queen lays the first wreath on behalf of nation and Commonwealth. We're at the Ceremony of Remembrance from the Cenotaph tomorrow morning from 10:30, and that means a change to our usual Sunday morning schedule and an earlier start for the Archers Omnibus at 9:15. This is BBC Radio 4. Now, the Saturday Play. The late Jack Rosenthal was one of Britain's best-loved television writers. Beginning his career in the early days of Coronation Street, he went on to create several television series of his own and a host of award-winning plays. Today's drama is a radio adaptation of his 1976 television play, Bar Mitzvah Boy. At the tender age of 13, Elliot Green is about to have his Bar Mitzvah, the synagogue ceremony in the Jewish religion that marks the passage from boyhood to becoming a man. In front of the whole congregation, Elliot will read and sing in Hebrew from the Torah, the Hebrew scrolls. He's been preparing for months, but is he ready?
Bar Mitzvah Boy by Jack Rosenthal. Adapted for radio by Amy Rosenthal.
You lie, Elliot, you did.
Ignore her.
I am.
Maintain an aloof silence.
He did, though, Squidge. Somebody did.
For your information, Denise, I don't tell tales. I didn't know you had any book under your desk, let alone that one.
Well, somebody did.
See you then.
I'll be going swimming tomorrow.
Tomorrow? You must be quipping.
Why must I?
You know what day it is tomorrow?
Saturday.
Saturday, 17th July. Anno Domini 1976, mate.
So what?
It's only the day that marks my passage, isn't it?
Oh, hell! I forgot.
What passage?
Are you nervous? I was petrified at mine. I made 16 mistakes in the Hebrew bit, 16 at least, and I forgot half my speech at a reception.
Did anyone notice?
Only all the people I forgot to mention. My Uncle Gus, Auntie Merle, my cousins from America. I was deadly.
I'll see you Sunday, then.
If you survive, mate. Mon ami, meus amicus.
I'll survive.
What does he mean, marks his passage? Is it rude?
It's something Jewish. What Jewish boys do. You wouldn't understand.
Sounds rude.
Hello? It's only me. C'est seulement moi. Est solus ego. Mom? Leslie? Is anyone at home? Est-il quelqu'un dans la maison? Est quisquam in domo? I'm bloody starving. Elliot, not the biscuits. You'll spoil your dinner. I'll take all the enamel off your teeth. Listen, I'm a growing boy. I need to eat. J'ai besoin de manger. I adjust us, or whatever it is, addendi. Where is everyone anyway? It's like the Marie Celeste in here. Naked women, les femmes nues, new life femini.
Will you promise that you'll say your kisses for me? Save all your kisses for me.
My dear mother and father, my dear grandfather, Rabbi Sherman, relatives and friends, on this day that marks my passage from boyhood to manhood, I would like to thank you for the honour you have bestowed on me by turning up for a free dinner. I would also like to thank Rabbi Sherman for the extra Hebrew classes every weekend when I could have been dive bombing Squidge at the Lido. Most of all, I would like to thank my dear mother and father, but unfortunately at this moment I cannot think of anything for which to thank them for. Joke. Now that I'm a man, I will follow my dear father's example, and that of my dear grandfather, and last but not least, that of my sister Leslie's boyfriend Harold, in living my life like a complete and utter...
Elliot! Answer the... I've got my hands full. Elliot, are you in?
No!
Don't answer the phone, will you?
No!
Hello? Billy Smart Circus, Leslie Green speaking. Oh, hello, Mum. Where are you?
That's an interesting question.
Is there any chance of an answer?
Still at Sylvia's. Where else would I be? She couldn't start on me till three. Mrs. Mickler was first and she was late. What could I do? With her abdomen and suspected conjunctivitis, I'm going to fall out with a woman. Listen, did you get the dry cleaning?
They're all lunatics in there. They should have a sign up. Lunatic Dry Cleaning Limited.
Did you get it?
First they said Dad's suit won't be ready till Monday.
Oh, my God!
Then they can't find it.
He needs it tomorrow.
Then it must be at another bra.
So you haven't got it?
No, I've got it. I've got it. It was there all the time. They're lunatics.
Listen, Leslie, I'm going to be a couple of hours yet. Now, the brisket's in the oven. Put it on a low light to warm up. Do a few potatoes with it and open a tin of peas. I'll be home before it's ready, please God. And Leslie, where's your brother?
I guess in his room with the biscuit tin.
Tell him to go to Solly's for a haircut. Your dad's there now having his. And Leslie, make him. Any arguing, you tell him no arguing, threaten. And Leslie, listen, hang up the dry cleaning in the wardrobe. No, not in the wardrobe, outside the wardrobe because of the chemicals. And if you've got a minute...
Mother, where do I get a minute?
If you've got a minute, ring the caterers.
What for?
Oh, just, hello, is that the caterers? I'm speaking on behalf of Mrs. Green. Is everything all right for tomorrow? I'll be happier.
Mother, please, you want me to have cold sores at the dinner dance?
What cold sores?
Every time I put on an evening dress, I have a cold sore to match. The Jewish Chronicle prints it under forthcoming attractions. The Green family must be having a simcha. Leslie's got a lip full of cold sores.
Cold sores she's drinking me with.
Leslie, would you like to test me?
Would you care to rephrase the question?
Please, would you please test me? Please.
Oh, like I've got nothing else to do, like I'm having such a good time.
Not in Hebrew, just the English.
Elliot, haircut now.
Please, s'il vous plaît, s'il vous plaît.
And stop that, it gets on my nerves.
Stop what? Arrêtez quoi? Prohibi quid?
Elliot, Dad's expecting you at Solly's. He'll be worried.
Nice one, Solly. Very funny. Cracker.
Yeah. Shortback and sides?
Shortback and sides, he asks me. Like I've been coming here for 30 years having a bloody bumble cut or something.
Ah, shortback and sides then.
Why not? Let's go, man.
Yeah, here you are. I've got another one for you. There's this Yiddish fella walking down the street and he sees this...
Always has to be a Yiddish fella, if you notice. Can't be a bloody Peruvian.
And he sees this dolly bird in a miniskirt and he thinks, hi, I wouldn't mind having a bit of that.
Hey, a bloody punter gets in my cab this morning, a Yank, wants to go to Richmond. So we've been going a couple of minutes and he says, it won't take more than a quarter of an hour, will it? To Richmond! I'm in Leicester Square! So I said, this is a cab, darling. You want a magic bloody carpet? I'll drop you off at Persian Airlines. So he says, Kushmir in Tachas. Kiss mine, I say. He looks at me and says, well, what do you know? Are you an American too? Bloody nutter. I charged him 50p over the odds.
For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation, upon them that hate me.
If you're going to stand there, can you at least stir the soup?
And showing loving kindness to the thousandth generation, unto them that love me and keep my commandments, they shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, etc.
Etc.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, etc.
There's a lot of etc's all of a sudden.
You're busy. Honour thy father and mother, that thy days...
Elliot, are you going to go for that haircut? You like commandments. This is a commandment.
Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, nor his wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor his Allegro 1300, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. Joke.
Well, I hope you're not just going to rattle it off like that. I mean, people will be watching.
When?
In synagogue tomorrow.
People?
People, the family, the congregation, Rabbi Sherman, the choir.
Just people?
Of course people, les personnages, populace. What else is there, giraffes?
No one will be watching. I don't say the Ten Commandments. They're not in my bar mitzvah.
Well, then what the hell have you learned them for? It's horrible, isn't it?
The brisket?
I only warmed it up. You cooked it.
My hair. It's ruined. You can all say I look terrible.
It's beautiful.
You look gorgeous, Mrs. Green.
Really, Harold? Emmis.
Emmis.
Elliot?
What?
You'll be proud of your mother tomorrow.
What?
Victor?
Hello?
Your honest opinion. You hate it. I don't mind.
Good. I don't even know what you're talking about.
My hair.
What can I say? It's hair.
Do you like it?
Done me no harm.
Dinner okay, everyone? No complaints?
Fantastic. It's really fantastic. Every mouthful.
Elliot?
Terrific.
Apart from not eating it.
I'm not hungry.
Terrific. Mum? Nice?
A banquet. Straight up. It's tremendous.
Mum?
Mmm. Lovely, darling. You didn't warm the brisket on too high a light, you don't think?
It doesn't taste burnt.
No, it's nice. Different. Crispy.
Crispy. Dad?
What?
Leslie wanted to know. Nice dinner.
The whole bloody family's gone pot shop. It's like a dinner. I'm eating it. Harold, you worship the ground she walks on. Tell Leslie it's a nice dinner.
He just did, didn't he? About six times.
It's delicious, Leslie. Hand on heart.
Stan and Dora Klein.
What about them?
They didn't RSVP. We don't know if they're coming to the dinner dance. Victor!
If they come, they come. If they don't, they don't. Confucius Cohen. Elliot Salt. Oh,
what about it?
Pass it.
Here, Mr. Green.
But the seating plan. It will make Ash and Blotty of the seating plan. They should be on the second table and it's full.
They're not relations.
He's a doctor. He expects it. Harold, wouldn't you think they'd RSVP a man in his position?
Perhaps they didn't get the invitation. Perhaps they were in Bournemouth. Perhaps he couldn't afford a stamp. Who can these days, this bloody government of yours, eh, Harold?
Well,
it was stamped already. It was a stamped address card. No expense spared. Elliot, don't lick your knife.
I wasn't.
Rita, for the first time in 3 months, may I eat without hearing seating plans and menus and caterers and do we tip the rabbi and shall we invite Miriam and shall I wear a long dress or a short dress and nothing will spoil it, will it? In the morning, he gets bar mitzvahed. In the evening, we have the dinner dance. By Sunday, it's all a dream. Thank you. Amen.
Do you think we should give her a bouquet? Oh.
Who?
Mrs. Sherman.
Is she anyone we know?
The rabbi's wife.
Certainly give her a bouquet. I've never met the woman. Give everyone a bouquet. Plant trees for them in Israel. It's already costing me 3 insurance policies. Roll on Sunday.
You want it over with. The greatest honour of your life.
You know what I mean.
I'm afraid I don't. Do you know what he means, Harold?
Well, in a sense, well, yes and no. What he, in my view, well, doesn't mean is...
She knows what I mean. Hey, Blabbermouth, you going to practice your speech tonight?
Yes.
He'll practice his speech like he went for a haircut. Tomorrow morning, before we go to shore, young man, you get that haircut.
There won't be time.
Victor, he is not standing in a beautiful synagogue on the greatest day of his life looking like Kojak.
Kojak? Kojak's bald.
Oh, not Kojak, the other one.
Which other one?
Harold knows.
No, he doesn't.
Leslie, leave your mother alone.
If I don't do the worrying, who will?
Now what's she on about?
See? Satisfied?
I thought it was a bar mitzvah tomorrow.
What?
I thought I was supposed to read the blessings and the portion of the law and be the guest of honour at the dinner dance. The Torah doesn't mention it's a hairdressing contest.
All right, everybody just eat. All day I'm in bloody traffic jams. Just eat.
All right, Elliot?
Yes, thanks.
Just sort of sitting staring a bit, are you?
I thought washing up was a woman's job. Or is that just a theory put about by male chauvinist pigs?
It happens to be a special occasion, doesn't it? Everybody else is busy driving each other balmy, aren't they?
You always do it. Toujours. Sempre.
Well, I can hardly do it always. I only come here on Fridays. Always, he says.
Always on Fridays you do it. She doesn't appreciate it, you know.
Look, haven't you got things to do? A million. You have your speech to learn, 2 lots of Hebrew, the blessings. I didn't have time to drive anyone balmy the night before my bar mitzvah.
You think it's a mating call, don't you? Washing up. No other species of animal do it. You don't see giraffes washing up for female giraffes. She won't suddenly show you her knickers, etc.
All right, Elliot. Go and be comical elsewhere, OK?
OK.
It's manners, isn't it? I'm thanking your parents for their hospitality. It's a nice thing to do, pleasing people.
One, ring caterers. 2, everyone get ready for synagogue. 3, Victor...
Hello?
Will you help me?
Doing what?
Showing interest.
I'm showing.
3, ask Sylvia to comb out my hair. Elliot, if you're coming in, come in. Don't stand there letting in a draft. We'll get Bell's palsy.
Bell's what?
4, ask Sylvia to give Elliot a quick haircut.
If time. There won't be.
5, set off to synagogue. Victor, is there petrol in the car? We're not sitting in the garage getting petrol on our best clothes.
There's petrol.
I thought we weren't supposed to drive on the Sabbath. I thought it was a sin. I thought we were supposed to walk.
All right, you've made your point.
I thought that was covered by the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
So we'll park a couple of streets from the shul and walk the rest, terrible thing. We won't be seen.
Won't we?
All the congregation do it. Let your granddad in.
I wasn't thinking of the congregation.
Well, what do other people care?
I wasn't thinking of other people.
Elliot, your grandfather's on the doorstep, shivering.
I thought I'd go and learn my speech.
Like all of a sudden. Let your granddad in, then learn it.
All right, all right.
Victor, can you think of anything I've missed out?
No.
I didn't see you think.
There was nothing to see. I'm an invisible thinker.
Good Shabbos, Mr. Wax.
Good Shabbos, Harold. How's the finest solicitor that you could wish for?
Accountant, actually.
Oh, there he is, the bar mitzvah boy. Oh, how's the loveliest grandson you could wish for? I could eat him.
Hello, Zadie.
Hello, he says. So beautiful, I could eat him. Bless his little pipik. And where's the most ravishing granddaughter you could wish for?
She's just washing her hair, Mr. Wax.
Washing her hair? Such a film star she's grown.
Excuse me.
Hey, bar mitzvah boy. You're not coming to sit on your Zadie's knee.
I've got to learn my speech and practice my Hebrew, Zadie.
And go through the order of service. Isn't that right, Mr. Wax? Yeah. So he knows what to expect tomorrow.
I know what to expect. I've been through it a million times with Rabbi Sherman. It's an ancient ritual repeated since time immemorial. It's not rocket science. See you later, Zadie.
Oh, I could eat him.
Hello, Dad.
Ah, don't get up. I'll have a cup of tea and a piece of sponge cake. But only if you're having one.
Leslie, can I talk to you a minute?
I can't hear you.
I said, can I talk to you?
Go on then. Some cutting remark regarded as brilliant in the B-stream.
What do you think of Harold?
What do you mean, what do I think of Harold?
Just... what do you think of him?
We're nearly engaged, aren't we?
That's no answer.
Is the back of my hand an answer?
Do you rate him?
Rate him?
You know, respect him.
We're nearly bloody engaged.
What about Dad? Do you rate Dad?
Well, Dad's Dad, isn't he? What's got into you?
And do you rate Grandad?
Of course.
But why?
Leslie, I want you. In the guest room.
Just a minute, Mother. What?
Why? Pourquoi?
Sorry, I missed the English one.
Why do you rate them? What for?
Well, that's a particularly stupid question, isn't it? Even from you.
But Leslie, I mean, think about
it. Elliot, there is water dripping down my neck.
I'm only asking why you rate them. Or are you just mad?
Okay, wise guy, out now.
Hey, what about me?
What about you?
My dear mother and father, my dear sister, my dear grandfather, Rabbi Sherman, relatives and friends, on this day that marked my passage from boyhood to manhood, I would like to thank you all for the great honour you have bestowed on me by your presence at this...
Elliot!
What?
I need your suit and tie, now!
I'm practising my speech!
I'm in the guest room!
For the great honour you have bestowed on me by your presence at this dinner dance, I shall treasure it all my life without fail.
Oh, made a beautiful job of them, haven't they?
Lovely.
Perfect.
Most of all, I'd like to thank my dear mother and father for the guidance, wisdom and love they've bestowed on me during my boyhood. Here you go, suit and tie.
Thanks, I'll take them.
I think I'll put a new crease in your dad's trousers.
They've just come from the cleaners. You said they were perfect.
I like a crease to be a crease. I can't help it. It's my nature. I'll do them while I'm doing Elliot's.
Mine are new. It's a new suit. They don't need pressing.
For Burton's window, they don't need pressing. Leslie, what tie do you think for your dad? Not for me, you notice, but I have to choose. He'd rather sit on his behind watching television and arguing. Me, I have the headaches.
Me, I have the cold sores.
What?
Well, no, I didn't say anything. I was singing.
Elliot, go down and ask your father which tie, brown or blue.
They're the right to march.
It's legal.
So's pneumonia. Doesn't make it desirable, does it? 20 minutes I was held up with an empty bloody cab.
Oh, here he is, the bar mitzvah boy.
Dad, Mum wants to know which tie.
All I'm saying is they're the right to campaign for better working conditions. You're the trade unionist.
Dad.
Listen. The way I look at it, call me an intellectual if you must. There's good and bad in everybody.
Yes,
I believe they should all be happy.
Right, okay.
Well, you prefer I should want them to be unhappy?
Dad, Mum
said... hold on, Elliot. Do you want everybody to get higher wages?
I do.
Even if the country can't afford it?
I'd like the country to afford it.
And what if it can't?
Listen, if the kids are happy, you're happy.
If you're happy, I'm happy. If you're all happy, thank God I'm the happiest man in the world. So what should I do, cry?
Go on, I'm the trade unionist.
Yeah, I'm the true blue. They're your brothers.
I'm my brother, mate, me.
Now that I'm a man, I will follow my dear father's example and that of my dear grandfather, and last but not least, that of my sister Leslie's boyfriend, Harold, in living my life with truth, industry and selfless devotion according to the moral teachings of the Talmud. I sincerely hope that I will be a credit to them all, and that they will serve me as Antony did of Brutus in Act 5, Scene 5, Line 73. This was a man.
Right then, love. Drive safely.
I feel like I've hardly seen you all evening.
It'll be different once tomorrow's over with. Sunday we'll be back to normal, if it ever comes.
Will I see you Sunday, then?
Oh, hell. I promised Valerie I'd go round and tell her Sydney's not God's gift and she's better off without him. Oh, that'll take all day.
Oh.
Anyway, we'll see each other tomorrow.
Not just the two of us.
No, 117.
Just the two of us now, though.
Oops, hair.
Sorry. Let me hold it.
Oh, careful, nail varnish.
Well, thanks for dinner.
Pleasure, Harold.
As long as I was of some help.
Help?
Well, washing up. Not that it's any trouble. Polishing Elliot's shoes for tomorrow. And one of your dad's. Putting the dishes away, making the tea, fetching the sponge cake.
You're very sweet.
Am I?
Hey, what about my beauty sleep?
Sorry.
Don't apologise.
Sorry.
Harold.
Night then. Love you.
Love you.
Night, everyone.
Elliot Green, were you lurking on the landing?
No, I wasn't. Je ne sais pas. Non somme.
Now give the worrying a rest, kid.
Yes, I will.
This time tomorrow night, it'll all be history.
This time tomorrow. Elliot's been in a funny mood.
Nerves. Funny age. Only natural.
Yes.
Where the hell did 13 years go, eh? Now you see him, now you don't. Skinny little kid rubbing poached egg in the carpet. Can't be more than 5 minutes since I bought him a scooter for being vaccinated.
That was Leslie.
Was it?
For going to the dentist's.
You won't need 6 hankies tomorrow.
You'll need 5 of them. Not done too bad, have we, all told, since our Bethnal Green days?
Not bad.
I'll give the worrying a rest, eh?
That's the ticket.
Can't think of anything I've missed out.
No.
I've taken a Valium.
Oh. Elliot, you sleep?
Yes.
Can I come in?
No.
Hello, horrible.
Shouldn't you be having your beauty sleep? Or have you given up hope?
Hey, how would you like every evening to be like this one?
Not much.
You're right, our kid.
Yes, thanks. Merci. Gratias.
It always happens, the panic, even in normal families. It's a big day for them, biggest in their lives. Bigger than it is for you, in a way. Soon be over.
Yes.
Get some sleep, then. Don't lie there thinking about tomorrow. And no dreaming, either, by order. Except football or cricket or Olivia Newton-John. Is it still Olivia Newton-John?
Pan's people.
What, all of them?
Most of them.
See you in the morning, mate.
See ya. On this day that marks my passage from boyhood to manhood, now that I'm a man, and they will say of me, as Antony did of Brutus in Act 5, Scene 5, Line 73, this was a man.
Hello, Levy's, the caterers. Oh, good morning. May I speak to Mr. Levy, please? Victor, there's blood on your chin.
I like blood on my chin.
Elliot, are you ready? We're moving out of the house now. Leslie, well, I'm not sure about that colour eyeshadow. But then again, I'm not Mary Quant.
Then again, you're not wearing it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Levy. Good morning, Mrs. Green speaking. I'm just ringing to say hello, really. No,
no, nothing. Just that my husband wanted to know if everything was in order.
No,
certainly there's no reason it shouldn't be. Yes, I'll tell him. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Elliot, your dad's starting the car!
Tell me what?
What?
Yes, I'll tell him, you said. What do you want to tell me? I've never met the fella.
They've been established since 1912 and I had no complaints yet.
Elliot! Your dad and Leslie are waiting in the car, if you don't!
I'm here. Je suis ici. Adson.
Oh, right! Let's go. Gloves, hat, handbag. Elliot, out the door. Victor, have you got your car keys?
Have I time to emigrate?
Tomorrow, I'll come with you. Rita, have you taken a Valium?
Of course I've got in my handbag. I've got
handbags. Come on!
It's so late.
We're not going in the cab.
What difference?
You said Richard Feldman was lending you his escort.
He was. Now he says it's being serviced.
Victor, it's his bar mitzvah.
For his wedding, it'll be different.
Elliot, seatbelt.
Leslie, is there lipstick on my teeth?
No. Is there on mine?
That's it.
With you, mate.
Victor! Have you gone mad?
What? Habit. Force of habit. It can happen.
Oh. Hey!
Good Shabbos, Mr. Wax.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi.
They're not here yet?
Any minute.
Would you like to wait inside?
If you don't mind, Rabbi, I'd like the pleasure and the privilege of seeing them arrive.
Of course. And you are happy to read the first blessing?
Oh, it would be a privilege and an honour beyond my wild.
I'll give you the nod when it's time. Ah, Harold.
They're here, Mr. Wax, Rabbi Sherman.
Here.
Good Shabbos, Mr. Green. Mrs. Green. And good Shabbos, Elliot.
Shabbos.
Oh, Shabbos, he says. Look at them, a little mensch. God bless him. What can you say about perfection?
Even Saharon, thy Omer Moshe.
All right, Elliot?
Yes, thanks.
Your granddad says he's got a toffee if your mouth's dry.
I've got to sing in a minute.
What?
My mouth's not dry.
You'll stand with your father, your grandfather, and Harold, as you would at any normal service.
It's an ancient ritual repeated since time immemorial. It's not rocket science.
Your mother and your sister will be watching from the ladies' gallery.
I think I'll put a new crease in your dad's trousers. They've just come from the cleaners. You said they were perfect. I like a crease to be a crease. I can't help it. It's my nature.
The service will proceed like any Shabbos service until the time comes for the Torah portion, the reading of the law. First, the chazan will call your grandfather up to read. It's a blessing in your honour, Elliot.
Excuse me, Tatane.
Mazel tov, Mr. Wax.
Baruch Adonai Hamburach.
Baruch Adonai Hamburach Elohim.
Oh, listen. If the kids are happy, you're happy. If you're happy, I'm happy. You're all happy, thank God. I'm the happiest man in the world. So, what should I do? Cry?
Amen.
Then again, in your honor, Elliot, the chazan will call your father to the reading of the law.
Here we go.
Mazel tov, Mr. Green.
May I eat without hearing seating plans and caterers? And do we tip the rabbi? And should we invite Miriam? And shall I wear a long dress or a short? And nothing will spoil it, will it? In the morning, he gets bar mitzvahed. In the evening, we have the dinner dance. By Sunday, it's all a dream. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You ready, Elliot?
What?
Any minute now.
Then the chazan calls you up. He'll call your name in Hebrew. You'll rise in a dignified manner, walk up the steps, and stand there beside him. And you'll sing in loud, clear, confident Hebrew, everything you've learned.
People will be watching.
People?
The family, the congregation, Rabbi Sherman, the choir.
Just people?
Of course people. Les personnages, populace. What else is there, giraffes?
Then comes the moment.
The moment when the chazan calls my name.
That's your moment, Elliot.
I'll rise in a dignified manner.
You'll rise in a dignified manner.
And I'll walk in a dignified manner. Right past everyone.
Elliot! Elliot!
And out the bloody door.
Though it hurts to go away, it's impossible to stay. But there's one thing I must say before I go. I love you.
I love you.
You know, I'll be thinking of you in most everything I do. Now the time
is... Elliot! Stop!
Harold, where'd he go? Did you see where he went?
He just vanished completely. Thin air.
But which way did he go? Left or right?
It could have been either.
With your cute little wave, will you promise that you'll say your kisses for me? Save all your kisses for me. Bye-bye.
Now then, here we are. Everybody has tea?
Thank you, Rabbi Sherman.
Hot and sweet for the shock. Mm-hmm. I'll have some myself.
Here, Rabbi, I'll do it.
No. You sit, all of you. You've had a terrible... Just sit. Well, now. Well.
Well, what? Do we stay here? Do we go home? Do we call the police?
Perhaps it might be wise to take Mrs. Green home.
I'm all right.
And Mr. Wax, go home and rest. If he comes back here,
You think he might, Rabbi, come back here?
If he does, I'll call you straight away.
Would you like a Valium, Leslie?
In my mum's handbag.
Would you like one?
There's none left.
Rabbi Sherman, what happens in cases like this?
There are no cases like this.
Didn't Squidge go swimming?
He banged his toes on the edge and went home crying.
Crying? Squidge? But he's over 13.
Well, he banged his toes, didn't he?
Where are you going now, Denise?
Home. It's mince cutlets. I hate mince cutlets. I'm a vegetarian, but they won't believe me. I've been vegetarian for over a fortnight.
Do you fancy coming on a secret mission instead? You could help me accomplish it.
What sort of secret mission?
I'm travelling incognito. I need a mask.
A mask?
Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, anything, from the joke shop. Then one more errand. Then we'll have a picnic in Jackson Street Playground. What do you reckon?
I wouldn't mind a picnic.
Come on, Zadie, have some soup.
I've no appetite.
Of course you have.
Leslie, tomato sauce or brown sauce?
How can anyone eat with a broken heart?
Practice makes perfect. Sorry.
Or mustard?
Oh, shush now. Try a little soup.
Leslie, would your mum prefer tomato sauce, brown sauce or mustard? Or none of them?
I've been looking forward, Leslie.
I know, we all have.
I bought him a watch for his bar mitzvah present. It's just beautiful. Look, it's shockproof.
Excuse me, Leslie. Mind the tray. Men at work.
See you for 20p, Charlie.
Ah, 3 tens, Marsha, and a pair of queens.
Aye, Clark, me and my big mouth.
Oh, hang on a minute, fellas. Eddie, deal me in.
I told so.
What do you want, Mickey Bloody Mouse?
Please, can I have a haircut, please?
I'm closed.
I've gone for one because I want to, not because everybody else wants me to.
I don't come when everybody else wants me to.
When it says closed, I'm closed. Saturday's the Jewish Sunday, pal. Day of prayer. Right. Where were we, fellas? What's the bet? I'm in.
Leslie, what did you say his name was?
Squidge. Well, Elliot calls him Squidge.
Squidge what, for God's sake?
Squidge Perlman.
And is Squidge his real... Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Perlman. I'm sorry to trouble you. Is Elliot Green there, please? Squidge's pal. Sorry, you believe what? I see. Thank you.
No?
She believes it's his bar mitzvah today. Leslie, I'll murder him. I will. I've spent 13 years bringing him up, and now I've done it, I'll bloody strangle him.
I'd been learning them for nearly a year. All the prayers, etc. Today, the supposed intention was to stand up in synagogue and say them.
So why didn't you?
It's the day that marked my passage from boyhood to manhood. Once you've said the prayers, etc., you're a grown man. That's the supposed intention, anyway.
Oh, is that the passage? Mind you, when my mum took me to get my first bra, I cried all night in bed. It's nothing, standing up saying prayers. Christian girls have a far worse day ahead of them before they're grown up. I said, Christian girls have an even worse day, of an intimate nature. It comes as this sudden shock, but you haven't to be frightened. Anyway, then you're a woman, official. I'm going now.
Now?
You got on my nerves, actually. Does Squidge know you're here?
No one does.
Is it a secret?
Well, obviously.
I'm quite good at secrets.
A mouthful. Try one mouthful.
No, thank you, Harold.
It's your favourite. Bean and barley. You made it. And a Vorscht sandwich.
Victor.
I'm on the phone.
Victor, come here.
All the months of... All the expense. Who's heard of a Jewish boy not getting bar mitzvahed? I mean, you're his mother. You could have a heart attack. You could lie there and have a heart attack. I mean, Mr. Wax isn't a young man.
She started sweating again.
Victor, at this moment, on their way, are 117 guests. They're sitting on the train, in cars, queuing for buses. At 6:30, Victor, 117 people from Bournemouth, from Manchester, Leeds and Glasgow, from Birmingham, everywhere, are going to turn up at the Reuben Shulman Hall expecting a dinner dance, all dressed up. Your Uncle Salmon, my cousin Frieda, your brother we don't talk about from Cardiff.
Shh, don't upset yourself.
117 people, 117 portions of top liver, 117 mushroom vol-au-vents, 117 chicken with croquette potatoes and Heltzel French beans and coleslaw, 117 Lockshan Kugels, a 10-piece band, and no bar mitzvah boy. No bar mitzvah.
Don't upset yourself.
So tell me, how do we cancel? How do we stop trains and cars and tell everyone to go home again? Do we stand on the M1 with a notice board? Do we stand outside the Reuben Shulman Hall and tell them Elliot's gone for a walk and they've got no dinner? What do we say? Do we go? Do we ever show our face again? Victor, you're a clever man. You read the newspapers, you argue politics. Tell me. I'd like to know.
Shall I ring the police again? Perhaps a piece of sponge cake?
Thanks for coming, Rabbi Sherman.
Yes,
She's upstairs, first on the left. I'll bring you a cup of tea.
Good girl.
I'm here. I'll get it. Hello?
Is that Elliot's mother?
His sister? Who's this?
If you're looking for Elliot, he's in Jackson Street Playground, wearing a suit and a Mickey Mouse mask. This is someone he snitched on at school yesterday.
who prefers to remain anonymous. Yours sincerely, a well-wisher.
Leslie? Are you going out?
I shan't be long.
Well, where are you going? Shall I go for you?
To me. Oi, Mickey Mouse, can we have our ball back, please?
Sure.
I should always wear it. It's a hell of an improvement. Having a terrific time, are you? We've had a terrific time. We went to the synagogue. It was a good laugh. Pity you couldn't stay. Listen, nutcase, there are two alternatives. Either we talk or I smash your face in. In a minute, there'll be one alternative.
They're upset.
Upset?
Are they?
Oh, brilliant. No, they're having a bloody sing-song. Elliot, for God's sake. The most important day of their lives.
I went for a haircut, by the way.
You what?
Didn't have one, though.
You went for a bar mitzvah and you didn't have one of those either. Is that why you left, to go for a sodding haircut?
Of course not.
Well, why then? Why?
I don't think I'm old enough to be bar mitzvahed.
You're 13. That's the age.
I don't think I've got the qualifications.
The only qualification is to be 13. All you have to do is breathe for 13 years and avoid the traffic. Elliot, every Jewish boy gets bar mitzvahed, every single one, for thousands of years.
5,736.
Everybody. Dad did it. Granddad. Harold.
They're not men, Leslie. That's the whole point.
What?
If that's being a man, I don't want to be one, do I?
Well, what are they then, if they're not men? Giraffes? Dad's a man, Elliot.
If he was my age and behaved like he does, he'd get a clip round the ear. He acts like a kid. Harold acts like a baby. Granddad is a baby.
And that's what you think, is it?
I'm not saying they're the only ones. That's the trouble. It's every bloke.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. It's all an excuse. You ran away because you were scared you couldn't do it. You thought you'd get it wrong. You were chicken.
Leslie, I could do it standing on my head.
Prove it.
I'm telling you.
They're babies. They all did what you couldn't.
Didn't work, though, did it? Bar mitzvahs don't work. Yeah,
but they tried, and they're still bloody trying, which is more than you did. You're a liar, Elliot. The whole thing's an excuse, and you're just a bloody liar.
Can you hold my feet?
What? Elliot, what the hell are you
standing on my head? Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorach. Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Leolam Vaed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim.
Why me? Why blame me?
Stop shouting, Victor. You're awake, Dad.
Not bloody likely.
I can't argue. I am sick of arguing in front of the rabbi. What must he think?
Listen, times like these...
Can I get you some more sponge cake, Rabbi?
No, Harold. Thank you.
I do my bloody share, Rita.
No, share of shouting, yes. Playing the big man, shouting and bawling, but never doing. Never since I've known you.
Doing what?
Anything.
So I go and play every day, do I? That's nice, isn't it, Rabbi? Twiddling my thumbs. The rent pays itself. Food, clothes. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do, for crying out loud.
What? Who? Mazel tov. Oh, listen. If they're happy, you're happy. If you're happy, thank God I'm happy. It's my happiness. It's a wonderful family. What should I do? Cry?
Use'e izim echad lachatat ladanoi al olat hatamid yaseh venesko. Can I do it the right way up now?
Of course you can.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Natan Lanu Torat Emet V'Chayei Olam Nata Batachenu Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah.
Harold, am I right or am I wrong?
What?
Who's right?
What's it got to do with him?
Nothing.
Sticking his bloody oar in.
Harold?
Well, actually, it's not really for me to say, is it, Rabbi?
Well, it is if I ask you. You have my permission.
And mine. Go on. Who's right? Mm.
Well, in some respects, there seems to be some truth in what you...
Which respects?
Well, not all. I didn't say all.
Which? Which?
Well, speak. For once in your life, upset someone.
Well, actually, in many respects, you're both right. I think there's a lot to be said for what you both said. I agree with you both. Wholeheartedly.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Told you I could do it.
Yeah. Mazel tov. I said mazel tov.
Thanks. I'd have settled even better with the text in front of me. You're not expected to know it by heart. I was good, wasn't I?
I don't know. It's all Chinese to me.
I was. I was pretty good.
Shame then, isn't it? You could have been the first man ever, seeing as there are no others.
It's all right saying it. It's keeping it. I mean, the Ten Commandments must be a pig to start with. They've all said it. They probably all meant it. At the time, anyway. At their bar mitzvah. I mean, that's hard. But I expect it gets even harder. Probably gets harder and harder as you go on.
I think what you did was hardest of all. Not getting bar mitzvahed.
Why?
The most grown up, anyway.
That wasn't the intended intention.
I know. Hard luck.
Do you think I'm probably a man already, then?
I think you're well on your way.
Well, I feel a bit sick now.
Come home. Join the club.
Would that be grown up? Going home?
Very.
I'll probably have to tell a few lies, won't I?
I'll tell the lies. I've had the practice. I've been grown up for years.
He was worried.
He was worried? You were bloody worried.
Worried about your mother dying of a broken heart, thank you very much. You broke it.
People here were worried, my lad. I mean, your poor mother. Your grandfather.
Worried you couldn't remember what you'd learned, Elliot? The Hebrew?
No, not that, Rabbi Sherman. He knows that backwards. Well, upside down.
What?
He did it.
Did what?
The lot, word for word.
What do you mean he did it? He walked out. I was there with a 50-guinea hat on. I was there.
He did it for me in the kids' playground.
He recited his bar mitzvah by heart?
Word perfect.
God, you really do put the boot in, don't you, mate? Next time you got a bar mitzvah, Rabbi, why not move the synagogue to the kids' playground?
So what were you worried about, Tatele? Tell me.
He thought... He couldn't be a man. Well, the sort of man you'd expect him to be. A man like you. And Dad. And Harold.
Elliot. Bombpot. To you, I seem like a god. A hero. It's only natural. Natural, but stupid. I'm not all that wonderful. I've got faults. Little ones, maybe, but I've got them. Sometimes I've been a bit of a lobbus. When I was younger, perhaps. I wasn't all that perfect. Nor Zadie here.
Of course not.
A fine man, but not every second of the day. And Harold, a fine boy. A gentleman. But sometimes, not often, a bit of a schlemiel.
Well, now and then.
We've all got little faults. You just haven't noticed them, that's all.
Mr. Green. Mrs. Green. There is a prayer we say in synagogue. A prayer for mourners.
No one's died? Who's died?
For all of us one day. It begins, Hamakom yenachem etchem.
Oh, yes?
It means, may the Almighty comfort you. Hamakom, meaning place, meaning every place, meaning everywhere, meaning God. God means anywhere, everywhere. A synagogue, a bedroom, a battlefield, a playground. You did the full portion, Elliot? Everything?
I got stuck on Reach Nihach and the bit about sacrifice, but I went back and got it right.
Now, the thing is, what I'm going to say, I might get a few nasty memos from high up, from fairly high up, but not as high up as God, I don't think.
And what are you going to say?
What I'm going to say is that, in my view, Elliot is now bar mitzvah.
Pardon?
If he did it, he did it.
In Jackson Street Playground?
Hamakom,
anywhere. Mazel tov, Elliot. You are a man, young man. How's it feel?
Not much different, really. Bit more tired, that's all.
Victor, do you think we should go in?
He'll announce us in a minute. The big shot in the red coat.
Oh, it's a beautiful room.
Bloody should be at that price.
Oh, I can see my Auntie Frieda. She's put on weight.
All right, son. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Victor.
May I have your attention, please?
Victor, anyone who was there this morning when Elliot didn't... I mean, what shall we say happened?
You're a fibber. You'll think of something.
What, though?
Please be upstanding to receive your host and hostess and bar mitzvah boy, Elliot.
Rita, do me a favour. Worry about it. Thank God for that. For one terrible minute, I thought he was going to walk straight past the table and out the bloody window.
Hey, bar mitzvah boy, want my lox and pudding?
Don't you want it?
I can't eat properly. I've got cold sore. Pass your plate.
Is it allowed?
Why not?
Well, etiquette, etc.
No such thing.
It's only ritual, really, isn't it?
That's all.
That's all. Say two. Est omnium.
Victor.
Again she's here with her. Victor!
Well, can you tell me why I worry about them? The kids. I mean, 20 years from now, they'll still be going their own sweet way. Happy, unhappy. What difference? And I'll have worried myself into the grave. 20 years. Cool, what am I talking about? 5 years. 6 months. Perhaps I should ask when it will be convenient for them. Next Tuesday, maybe. I'll leave Wednesday's dinner on a low light.
Ladies and gentlemen, pray silence for your bar mitzvah boy, Elliot!
My dear mother and father, my dear sister, my dear grandfather, Rabbi Sherman, relatives and friends, on this day that marks my passage from boyhood to manhood, I would like to thank you all for the great honour you have bestowed on me by your presence at this dinner dance. I shall cherish it all my life without fail. I would like to thank Rabbi Sherman also for the patience he has bestowed on me during the last year while preparing me to learn the portion of the law which I had the honour to recite today. He has been no end of a tower of strength in no uncertain terms. Most of all, I would like to thank my dear mother and father for the guidance, wisdom and love which they have bestowed on me during my boyhood. Now that I am a man, I'll follow my dear father's example and that of my dear grandfather, and last but not least, that of my sister Leslie's boyfriend, Harold, in living my life with truth, industry and selfless devotion according to the moral teachings of the Talmud. I sincerely hope that I will be a credit to them all and that they will say of me, as Antony did of Brutus in Act 5, Scene 5, line 73, this was a man. Thank you all for the wonderful presents which you have bestowed on me, of which I am extremely grateful for. I trust you will enjoy your evening, not forgetting the dancing which is about to ensue, as I feel sure you assuredly will. Thank you.
In Bar Mitzvah Boy, Elliot was played by Hugo Rain, Rita by Tracy Ann Oberman, Victor, David Horovich, Grandad, Andrew Sachs, Leslie, Susanna Wise, Harold, Jonathan Tafler, Denise, Maya Gerber, Squidge, Sam Cummings, Rabbi Sherman, Peter Meyer, and the synagogue cantor was Rabbi Mark Solomon. Bar Mitzvah Boy by Jack Rosenthal, adapted for radio by Amy Rosenthal, was produced and directed by David Ian Neville.
Frances Fifield unravels the mysteries behind the Symphonie Fantastique in a moment, after we've heard from Jane Garvey.
On Weekend Woman's Hour this week, if you're happily married and keen to stay that way, advice from Gilly Cooper. Don't say no.
Sex, if it's sort of going along, it's so lovely and it does cheer people up and it's wonderful sleeping. And I just think, you know, it just brings people together and makes people happy. And so I think to sort of go on saying no all the time is a bit depressing.
Simple, really. Weekend Woman's Hour this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
And now on Radio 4, the last in the current series of Tales from the Stave. Frances Fifield is back in Paris to reveal with her guests the secrets and stories held in the manuscript of the Symphonie Fantastique, the groundbreaking orchestral work by one of France's greatest composers, Hector Berlioz.
I had never seen a full score. One day, however, I found a sheet of paper with 25 staves upon it. I realized in a moment the wondrous instrumental and vocal combinations to which they might give rise, and I cried out, "What an orchestral work one might write on that!"
That's Hector Berlioz from his colorful memoirs. He was a terrific writer too. And the memoirs, along with his letters and essays, are just some of the sources that tell us about the conception and composition of the Symphonie Fantastique. But there's never a better source of secrets than the handwritten score of the piece itself.
Bonjour, est-ce que ce micro marche? On va parler de la...
Cécile Reynaud is a music curator at the Bibliothèque Nationale de France, where the autographed manuscript